start to overthink it, think about what you, it ceases to become automatic, and then one double fault leads to another.
That one's okay, though. The return's down the middle. Two bounces before a forehand again finds its way to the forehand side of De Groot. The forehand cross court. De Groot's ready for that one. Changes the angle up onto the backhand side of Zhu. And she can't deal with that.
Well, that ball died on the court. Just too good from De Groot.
Still work to do, though, in this game if she is to close it out here at 15-40. Once more, the first serve, no pace on it, ends in the bottom of the net. Second serve. Well, the second serve was deep, but it was right into the hitting zone of Zhen Zhenzhu, and she struck a beautiful backhand winner down the line. So she's got one of the breaks back here. It's impossible to predict what is going to happen. Serving for the match, De Groot is broken. But of course, Zhu is now serving to stay in the match, and that might prove to be even more of a challenge than breaking De Groot as she just did.
That's a sign that doesn't matter how many Grand Slam titles you won, how many matches you won in a row at Grand Slam level, you're still a human being. You can still have moments where you lose the rhythm on your serve, perhaps start to think about what you're about to do. Everything just plays on your mind. It's the beauty of tennis, isn't it? Played by humans.
You see that pigeon? Oh,
I did.
I don't know whether it contributed to another double fault second serve into the net, but a pigeon swooped down and from our angle looked perilously, I always struggle with that word, perilously close to the head of Zhu, but
I think it might just be the angle of
yes
where we're looking at. So we're on the fifth floor, looking down slightly on the diagonal. Onto court, Philippe Chatrier. Beautiful shot there from Zhu.
Yeah, drop shot return from De Groot, but Zhu read it, came in and hammered away a forehand winner to get back to 15-all. We had a dog-stopping play earlier this week on one of the outside courts. Never seen that before. This dog appeared literally from nowhere. And the umpire in the end had to get down off her chair, get its lead and walk it off court. Find its startled owner. Still don't know who the owner was and what the dog was doing there. Never seen that before.
Well, we had a dog earlier on, didn't we, in our commentary box. Came by to see us again. Nepia.
Yes.
His owner works a few commentary boxes down from us. And Nepia is a guide dog. Beautiful dog. Came by and surprised Gigi. So if you're listening earlier, it was... I'd like to find it. If it's on the bloopers reel, that would be a good one, Stefan, where Gigi was commentating and I was watching Nepia approach. Gigi hadn't noticed that there was quite a large dog about to approach her, and halfway through a sentence, could just see her face. Ooh!
Yeah, well, she doesn't like to be surprised, the Empress. I have to report another double fault, I'm afraid, from Zhen Zhenzhu, her 11th, which means it's 3-5, 15-30, and she's on a second serve here as well. It's in play. Slice backhand, cross court. That's a winner. And the serial winner brings up two championship points as a result.
That's what champions do. They find a way. It hasn't been the best performance from De Groot. It's been patchy by her incredibly high standards. And Zhu has played a significant part in that with her performance today. But now staring down the barrel of defeat.
Two championship points after 2 hours and 7 minutes. The serve is long, going to the forehand. Let's not end this with another double fault, please.
That was my thought exactly.
Another pigeon flies by, goes up towards the top of the stand, away to our right. Second serve, it's in the court. Backhand is a clean winner. And Dida De Groot, while not necessarily being at her best today, has picked up, incredibly, at the age of 27, her 22nd Grand Slam title and her fifth here at Roland Garros. She comes from a set down to win 4-6, 6-2, 6-3.
Well, not a vintage performance, perhaps, from Dida De Groot. She looks relieved as much as anything, but impressive resilience. It was as much about self-belief as it was about anything else from De Groot. Zhu played a part in what's been an engaging final. It's been a big breakthrough for her, I think, at Grand Slam level, having only ever got to one semi-final on a Grand Slam debut, as Marcus was saying, at the Australian Open in 2020, having beaten De Groot. But hopefully she can take away this performance, her performance here at Roland Garros, use that to build on. This is a big, big year for wheelchair tennis players. Of course, we've got the four Grand Slams, but we also have the Paralympic Games, the chance to etch yourself into the history books, not just of your own sport, but of sport generally. And as we wait to prepare for the ceremony, I think, you know, I can't help but cast my mind forward to Paralympics, and I wouldn't be surprised to see these two in the medal match.
Absolutely.
Certainly, it would be a shock if De Groot wasn't in the hunt for a medal there in singles and in doubles.
I mean, her record's extraordinary. It's her 88th title. You know, it's the 22nd at Grand Slam level. Her Roland Garros record now is 120, lost just three, and her record for 2024 is now 122 and lost just one match. A fifth title here to go with the sixth in Australia, the sixth in New York, and the five at Wimbledon. And she is only 27. She's in her prime.
Well, that's a remarkable thing, actually, when you think that she's only 27 and compiled that record already. And it's extraordinary. It defies explanation. And it is a sport that's growing in depth, wheelchair tennis. It gets tougher and tougher every year.
Ah, Stefan had been prowling around. Something, and I must confess, I was hearing our own commentary about 2 seconds after we'd spoken, which is a horrible thing anyway. And I realised I'd inadvertently turned the app on my phone on. And that's, I do apologize. Stefan didn't know what was happening, but we were sort of almost in double stereo. And I could hear what you just said 3 seconds before. Thought maybe it was one of the symptoms of my cold.
Oh,
have I mentioned
yes.
my cold? Actually?
You have mentioned your cold, yes. Well, you know, Radio Roland Garros, so good we say everything twice. yes, I'm not going to take any further teasing for slight may of closing all the windows down on the laptop, if that's the sort of thing that you get up to. Honestly, I feel vindicated.
One of the stats that I've just seen from the match, the service stats aren't great, as you'd expect, but 44 winners for De Groot to the 18 of Zhu. And that is the reason, primarily, why she is about to celebrate. They're getting ready for this presentation ceremony. The ball boys and the ball girls are coming back onto the court. We've got, I'd say, around about 10 or 12 photographers just standing in front of the net. There's a plinth on the service line across from them. And applause and appreciation for the fantastic job done by these ball boys and ball girls of different shapes and sizes. Amazing, actually. Have a look at how big some of them are and how tiny the smallest one is. But
well, that's teenagers for you, and that's one of the factors when you talk about junior tennis, particularly on the boys' side, is the height difference between one player and another, and they can be very similar ages. And we all know from, you know, school kids, and it's not just tennis, is it? That's just that children and young adults grow at very different paces. But yes, we do have a little bit of we have a range of heights, don't we? And they've very helpfully stood in height order.
Yeah.
So it goes from high to low.
Trophies coming out. The line judges as well have been arranged in height order, and now three ladies are marching out with three trophies, of course, one for the winner, one for the runner-up, and I'm assuming is the other one for the umpire?
One would assume so. They're glinting very beautifully in the sunlight today. It's about, what do we think, about 23 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
So low 70s if you work in Fahrenheit. Photographers are lined up at the net, so what they'll do with the photographers, and this will be similar to the ceremonies that we'll see for the singles finals. Lined up, ready with the presentation party facing the photographers, facing the cameras, for the viewers watching at home.
Seront remis par Sandrine Martinet, para-judokate, championne paralympique à Rio en 2016, championne d'Europe et vice-championne du monde 2022, porte-drapeau de la délégation paralympique de Tokyo. accompagné de Monsieur Lionel Olinger, vice-président de la Fédération française de tennis en charge de l'organisation des grands événements, et accompagné de Monsieur Denis Machuel, CEO Monde de Adeco Group, partenaire de ce tournoi en fauteuil.
Three special guests to
Nous allons
the ceremony.
Saluer l'arbitre de la rencontre, Anthony Belli
from other sports coming here.
And up comes the umpire. We were right, Lady E. The first trophy is for the umpire, who's still got that thing growing out of his ear.
It's a camera, in case you're wondering. So the umpires this year have been equipped with a headset camera, which is like a GoPro camera. So they can, when they're looking at
Finaliste
lines, they're able to show us what they can see.
Roland-Garros 2024, Zhen Zhen Zhu de la République Populaire de Chine.
Well, she fought hard. She had the first set. She had chances in the second as well. But she'll have to wait a little longer to become only the second Chinese player to win a Grand Slam. For now, Li Na continues to hold that particular accolade for herself.
La finaliste. Vainqueur du tournoi féminin tennis en fauteuil Roland-Garros 2024. Et elle obtient son cinquième titre à Roland-Garros, le 22e en Grand Chelem au total, la néerlandaise Tine de Groot.
De Groot, the great. She's now won 14 consecutive Grand Slam titles. That's a record. 22 altogether, 5 here in Paris. Marc Bourrier, who is conducting the ceremony, is just explaining to everybody in the crowd what a phenomenal career she has had. And now all the photographers at the net are taking pictures of Ida. Zhen Zhen's joined her as well.
It's such a phenomenal record that if you're listening in the crowd, don't know much about wheelchair tennis, you perhaps might not know that much about the two players. You might think,
one
sorry, did he say 22?
Each, but Zhen Zhen, please, if you want to say a few words. Thank you.
Congratulations, Dida. I'm very happy to be here with you play. And thanks everybody watching my play. And thanks my team. Thanks, Spencer. I think I'm very happy today. I think I play. It's okay. I think next time I need to make very hard. I need to make more hard practice. thank you.
Chichi, thank you. Merci.
See you next year.
Stay there.
Easy to make a speech in a language that isn't your first language.
Well, first of all, congratulations, Zhu. You made the final, which is amazing, and then you played a very, very good match. Congrats to your team as well. You had a good week. I think for myself, I'm super proud of this win. It wasn't very easy today. I think I made it very difficult for myself. but also, I'm just very proud of keeping the streak that I have, or at least the win here, and having the record today. It's not something that is a goal of mine, but it shows that every week I'm here and I'm still here and I keep fighting, so I'm proud of myself. I would like to thank my team. I had a full box today. My family is here. My coach is here. Thank you for the support this week. Thank you for the KNLTB, for the support at home, and my sponsors who are here as well. I would like to thank everyone. Merci beaucoup. Je suis très heureux avec cette victoire et je suis très fière de be here. Merci à Roland Garros. This opportunity to play here, already have good preparation for the Paris Paralympic Games. They're going to be here, and I think we showed what it's going to be like, and I hope to show you all in 2 months. Thank you, Roland Garros, and thank you, everyone.
Merci, Nina. Merci beaucoup.
Well, she's going to take some stopping at the Paralympic Games. Of that, there's absolutely no doubt. She's already got one Golden Slam. That record that she was referring to, the fact now that she's won 14 consecutive Grand Slam titles, it's absolutely ridiculous. Who's going to stop her? Well, it'll take a pretty brave effort. Though she did say there, lady, that she made it hard for herself, and particularly those service stats are something she'll have a look at.
She did make it hard for herself. I think also Zhu made it hard for her. And you know, we have to give credit to the Chinese player in what was her first Grand Slam final for the way that she played. Acquitted herself pretty well. And I think drew some of those double faults in the way that she returned at times. So, you know, as we said, a big breakthrough for her. And charming that both of them. Zhu having to speak in English, which is, you know, she's still learning how to speak it. And the better you play for these players who don't have English as a first language, the more you have to learn English, because you're more interviews you're having to do. You're having to do a speech in front of a lot of people on an enormous court in a language that is very new to you. So she did really well with that. And then fair play to Dida de Groot trying out a bit of French, and it sounded a bit like your French or my French, where you get a certain amount through a sentence and then realise you have no idea what the next word is. So there was a bit of French followed by be here.
Yeah.
And but I think that the crowd actually appreciated her trying to do it. And nice, I think, also to hear her reminding everybody that we will be back here in terms of wheelchair tennis for the Paralympic Games starting in mid-August. And that'll be interesting to watch. And as you said, she is going to take some stopping there. She's going to take some stopping anywhere.
Well, she's out in the middle of the court at the moment. The photographers are taking lots of pictures of her with the trophy. Of course, there's a winner, there's a loser. And Zhen Zhu's just at the side having a look and thinking, oh, that could have been me. Maybe one day it will. So the first final on Court Philippe Chatrier has been concluded. Let me tell you that the boys' singles final is underway on Court Simon Mathieu. Thomas Berkietta and Kaelin Biggin on serve after three games. There's another Legends match about to start on Suzanne Longlen, featuring Arnaud Clément and Guy Forget against Joe Wilfried Tsonga and Mats Wilander. That'll be fun to watch. And the doubles final involving Alfie Hewitt and Gordon Reid should start shortly on court 14 of the number one seeds against Miki and that man Oda of Japan, who are the number two seeds. What a match that should be. And on court 13 in the quad final, the men's quad final, it's still going into a deciding set, of course, and on serve at the moment, Guy Sasson of Israel serving at 3-4 15-30 against the second seed from the Netherlands, Sam Schroeder. Go to the app or the website for all the latest scores, the results, the features and us. And it's not too long now until the women's singles final. Iga Świątek and Jasmina, you want me to call her?
Jasmina.
Paolini. Due to get underway at around about 3 o'clock. We will begin our build-up at 2.45, so in roughly an hour and 10 minutes.
Radio Roland-Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
The stage is set beautifully, Marcus, for today's main event.
It most certainly is. The French know how to put on a show, don't they? It's scary, those fireworks, just for a moment. We could hear them, we couldn't see them. But we're all set. Beautiful sunny day. On paper, of course, we've got what's expected to be quite a one-sided final. I don't wish to write Jasmine Paolini off. I just think, Sophie, it's impossible really to predict how a 28-year-old competing in her first Grand Slam semi-final will fare against a woman who can do no wrong on a clay court.
I have to agree with you. There's no doubt that the chances for Paolini are very slim. But then again, it's her first time, so it's either going to be a quick one. She's going to fold, and I think Świątek is going to go just full Świątek that we've seen play. Or, because of a new player, somebody that Świątek doesn't know as well, it might have a little bit of an impact, but it's so slim. And let's not forget that she was here playing in the semifinal yesterday in doubles. She has played, I think, 17 hours on court. I think I counted. I have it in my notes. I'll talk about it later. And it was very hot yesterday. It was a very long three-setter, Paolini. So she's coming from yesterday playing when Świątek had her feet up and was recovering to play today. Very different, obviously. Phil, you're going to have to be so fit to beat somebody like Świątek on her turf. And playing that many hours is, I think, has a component to
it. Okay, so let's put your coaching hat on and let's devise a game plan. I'm not going to say it's going to work, but a game plan for Jasmine Paolini against Iga Świątek.
I think for me, she has to mix up a lot of things. She's got to use the drop shot. She's got to be aggressive as soon as she has any kind of possibility. Second serve, try to take that early. Not easy because the kick is going to go over her head. She's one of the shortest, smallest player on tour. She's very quick. But if you know, even the kick of Świątek, which kicks pretty high, if she doesn't move in the court, it's going to be difficult, I think, for her to respond. So one, take the second serve early. Don't let that ball kick over your shoulder. Two, so you can be aggressive. Two, use the drop shot. Make her move forward, even though she's quick, and change a little bit the rhythm. And go to the forehand, if you can, of Świątek deep with some topspin. That's where Świątek could have a little bit of a slight, itch.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good to execute. That is obviously going to be a mighty challenge. I'll just come up with a couple of stats just to remind you that Iga Świątek has won 34 of her first 36 matches at Roland Garros. That equals the record of Chris Evert and Monica Seles, and only twice in the Open era have players outside the top 10 been able to beat a number one seed in a slam final. Jennifer Capriati did it against Martina Hingis in Australia back in 2001. Venus Williams did it against the lady I just came up in the lift with, actually, Lindsay Davenport at Wimbledon in 2005. History is against her. Świątek's form is against her. I know she faced a match point against Naomi Osaka, but she's only lost 14 games since then. And by the way, 14 players have won a slam after saving a match point. I'm pretty certain she's going to make that list go up to 15 today.
In terms of the height of Jasmine Paolini, she is 5'4". Mm-hmm. A little pocket rocket up against the 5'9" of Iga Świątek. What is it, Sophie, for people listening, what is it that makes Iga Świątek extra dangerous and extra special on the clay? What is it about the weapons in her armory that just takes her game to the next level on this surface?
Number one, the movement. Okay, a movement not only on clay, but especially on clay. She is moving so well and sliding so well. She's so comfortable on it. So, and if you're able to watch at home and listen to us, of course, when she gets to a ball and she is late on a ball, she goes with an open stance on each side, forehand and backhand, and then she pushes out of the outside foot to come back. A lot of players will lose even more yards, more meters to come back. So the movement is key. Second, she has a forehand that has a lot more topspin than her backhand, so now you have a change of spin. You have a ball that kicks a little bit on the clay, especially today. It's a little drier, it's warmer, so that ball is going to go a little bit, just like, not obviously the forehand of Nadal, but when Nadal was playing, when the circumstances were hot, his ball was kicking so high with the topspin. So not that high, but still. And then she has a flat backhand. So now all of a sudden you're hitting a ball that sometimes kicks above your shoulders, and then a ball that comes to your belly button. So you have to adjust. And she, I mean, again, she is the fastest player with Coco Gauff on court. The way that her explosiveness is on the first step is critical for her to get to the ball. The serve could be a little bit of a weakness on the second serve. She has changed the first serve. She has changed her technique, which I think is helping her in getting better and better from tournament to tournament. So those are the components to me. And let's not forget the mental toughness. I mean, you don't come back from match point against Osaka. When she was in that match in the third set, she started believing and saying, there's no way I can lose this match, when Osaka was up 30-15, has a short ball to her forehand, put away, misses that ball. It could have been two match points at 5-3, Osaka serving. That's when Iga's just face and demeanor changed. It felt to me, it said, you know what? She just missed a huge opportunity here. I'm in every single point. And that mental toughness is going to be difficult as well.
Just seeing some shots of Jasmine Paolini, and this was a little bit earlier in the gym with her coach Renzo Ferlin, and that big smile on her face. I mean, what a weekend. The singles finals day, the doubles final with Sara Errani tomorrow. She was the most improved player on the WTA Tour last year. She won, if you look at the list of WTA 1000 winners, they're the names you'd expect. And there is, alongside Dubai, Jasmine Paolini. And she said, didn't she? She didn't dream of becoming a Grand Slam champion. She didn't dream of being world number one. She dreamt of being a professional tennis player.
Yeah, and that's great. I think, be realistic. I mean, of course, you can have your dreams, and dreams do sometimes come true, but start with a realistic footing and then move ever upwards. And it's interesting you mentioned Sara Errani. She's going to have been invaluable over the past day or two because, of course, she made it to a Roland Garros final back in 2012 now. What is that, 40 years ago? I don't know where the years go. I'm interested to ask Sophie one question. Watching Paolini, as you just mentioned, we saw her in the gym. She's always got that smile on her face. She seems to genuinely be enjoying herself. But is it a cliche to say to a player ahead of an event like this, just go out and have fun? Or is that actually quite important as well?
Well, I think it's not a cliche. I think it doesn't matter who you're playing and who's playing. I think if I had to coach anyone, I would say the first thing you have to do is have fun, because you can't perform well if you're not having fun. It's not the other way around. You don't perform well, you have fun. And to me, it's you have fun. Of course, it's, you know, it's big, it's huge, it's something you want so badly. But, you know, talking about Paolini, one thing that she was saying, she said, you know, before Dubai and before I started to play better and better, I thought it would be a miracle for me to win against a top 10 player. Now I feel like I belong. And that is, you know, a huge mentality that changed everything for her. She really felt like she was part of those players, that she could compete with them day in and day out. And she didn't think it was a miracle anymore.
No.
So it's beautiful to watch. And she's, you know, not the youngest player. To see a player, like, you know, growing into her game a little bit older, that's giving, obviously, in the mind of players who are in 24, 25 years old, saying, hey, you know what? Time is time. And yeah, it might take time, but you might see some players, you know, developing a little bit later in their career.
That victory against Elena Rybakina in the quarterfinals was her third victory against top five opposition. Remind me, who tipped Rybakina to win this event?
Now, just a little word that Elena Rybakina had been suffering greatly. She had to withdraw from Rome, where she was defending champion. Remember, she missed Indian Wells as well.
She
hadn't played.
So why did you pick her?
A lot of because something that Jasmine Paolini can't do, she cannot hit through Iga Świątek, and they are the players that Iga Świątek has trouble with, the ones that can hit through her. And Jasmine Paolini, as we've just talked to, is going to have to go around the houses, upside down, roundabout, come around the back end and try and get it done that way, because she is not going to hit through it. And that's why I went for Rybakina.
Well, if it's any consolation, Rybakina got further than Sophie's pick.
What's got into you? Is it because you're feeling a little bit under the weather? Are you just having a little moat? What's wrong?
I'm also, I mean, there's only two of the team.
Did you just speak?
There's only two of the team
I can't hear anything.
Neither.
Can you hear anything?
The final. Just the two of us. Chris Bowers and I.
Stefan.
I can't. No, I think Stefan's turned his mic off. I can't hear him.
Done.
No.
Sorry.
Nothing at all. No, nothing.
Anyhow.
No, sorry, yes, sir. I'm listening to you.
Yes.
I'm going to blow my nose.
Yeah, no, won't you? Yeah, bye-bye. No, I mean, anyway, listen, your point is totally right on. The fact that to really win against Świątek, you have to have her on a bad day, which is very not often, and you have to hit through her. Can Paolini hit through her? Yeah, on occasions, I think she can. But can she do it for two sets? I don't think so. So, you know, she's going to have a lot of things that's going to have to go, you know, in her way.
Au tennis club de Mouillerol-Captif,
the balls are making their entrance.
Good news.
Lovely smile on the young man's face from a local tennis club. Out he comes. Here's his moment. The blankets have been replaced by sun hats. Mm. It's a lovely day.
It's hot. It's beautiful. Has been for most of week two. One other area. I'm intrigued again to get both your opinions. But Sophie, on the occasions that Świątek has struggled, we do see that aura of vulnerability, a certain fragility, and more often than not she's able to fight through that, but it is there. Is there a chance here as she comes out a red hot favorite against a first time slam finalist that if Paolini does get off to a fast start, Iga might just panic a little bit?
I don't think she'll panic, but I do think that she'll have a little bit of concern, because again, you know, it's not like they've played against each other that often. It's, you know, the record is what, two times that they've played in the face?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's 2-0
Iga. And one was when Świątek was 16 or something.
Yeah, that's 2018, yeah. And plus they're never really, I mean, 2018 was on clay, but that doesn't really count.
It was a sort of future level, it was 1-2-5.
And, you know, the last time really that counted was 2022, that was on hard court, so 6-3, 6-love.
Are the crowd ready? Of course the crowd are ready. And down in the bowels of Philippe Chatrier, Jasmine Paolini will be about to get the nod that it's her time to walk up the stairs. The 12th seed, the 28-year-old, their first Grand Slam final. She'll leave Paris, whatever happens, a top 10 player. Now her moment, the introduction. She's just about taller than the young man she is escorted out by. She has that lovely smile on her face. How will she settle into the biggest occasion of her life? The Roland Garros Women's Singles Final. She takes the bench closest to the entrance to court, Philippe Chatrier, as Iga Świątek, who, if she wins this, will have a near 4,000-point lead on the new world number two, Coco Gauff, on Monday. She's 23. It's her fifth Grand Slam final. She's 4-0, and she's looking for a fourth Roland Garros title. It is absolutely frightening at the age of just 23. Reception for the world number one. The headphones are on, the racket is in the left hand, the racket bag across both her shoulders, the extra bag over her right arm. She'll wait for the young girl to go through the chair. She will follow her, and now she'll get herself set for what's to come. And a big thing, Marcus, will be from Jasmine Paolini's point of view. Yes, you can say treat it like it's just another match, but how will she settle into the occasion? Because she has no time to. She's got to just get up and running as quickly as possible.
Well, absolutely. She's got a huge cheer. I think she will have the backing of the crowd, not because they're against Iga Świątek. Huge roar, and lots of Polish fans, as always, are very visible inside Philippe Chatrier. But of course, the crowd wants a match. They want Paolini to put up a fight, so I think she'll be given as much encouragement as possible in the early stages. And if she can settle and feel as though she belongs, then hopefully she can make it competitive. And you can't help but like her. She just looks like she's fun. She's always got that grin. She's the second shortest woman ever to play in a slam final, but what she lacks in stature, she makes up for in abundance in personality.
Iga Świątek is just sorting her bits and pieces out. She does take a wee bit of time. They are waiting for her in the centre of the court. So another towel comes out, a top's come out. She's going to put that top over that bit. That towel's going around there. That one's going back in the bag. Now, this towel is going to be folded up, and that's going to be folded in half, and that's going to be laid out over that towel. So that's on the bench, and there's three white towels. Now going to have a little drink. She's going to pop that down. I think the headphones are going to come off. It's like, yep, the headphones are off. They're in the bag. Grab the racket. And here we go. Time for the women's singles final housekeeping.
Ladies, welcome to the final at Cours Philippe Chatrier. Can we just take a picture with the girls first in this direction, please?
It's good to do the photo first, because sometimes everyone forgets. Run
they
off
did before
directions.
The doubles earlier.
Same conditions. Oh, ladies, we have the towel doubles, boxes the, in all the women's corners. Wheelchair. Marked orange and blue. Orange for you today. Blue for you, Iga. As always, if you want me to check a mark, please let me know immediately and make it clear, please. And last but not least, the surf clocks are displayed on both of the scoreboards and also down here on the LED banner. Do you have any questions? No? Okay. Paul, c'est pour toi. Tu veux demander à Jasmine le joueur ou le bail? Tennis ball or player?
Player.
Player. Ball for you. Et c'est ça. Toi, parfait.
Oh, look at that. Flew over the net.
And it's the ball. Iga. Your choice. You surf. Have a good match.
Well, firstly on the coin toss, not only did he toss it very well, he tossed it across the other side of the net. It landed on Świątek's side. She won the toss. And Sophie, she, no hesitation, she's in for the serve to start things off.
Yeah, no hesitation there, which, you know, a lot of players, when they win the coin toss, decide, well, I'm going to receive. So that's telling of the confidence level that she has. So remember, I was telling you how many hours that they spent on court. Yeah. So I calculated that with the doubles. Okay.
Yeah.
Paolini has spent now 17 hours and 46 minutes on court since the beginning of this tournament, while Świątek, has spent 8 hours and 50 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. So we're talking twice the amount of time plus. And plus, what really is painful is really the, I think, playing yesterday in the heat. It was the heat of the day. It was right in the afternoon, and it was a very long match as they went into three. It's, to me, you know, it's telling that I don't know how much gas she has left.
Do you remember in 2020, Świątek's first run to the title? And I know ages are very different. I'm not saying 28's old, but Świątek was a teenager and she played through, got to the semi-finals of the doubles. And she said, it distracted me. It took my mind away from the main event, as it were, and I wasn't training, I was just playing, and that was my practice. And Iga Świątek said it was actually a wonderful thing for her to do, to keep her mind away from what this is.
Which I agree, it keeps your mind away, but your legs are going to feel it. There's no way. And what she needs to achieve here against somebody like Świątek, she needs to be physically so, so good. So, anyway.
I mean, we've got, funnily enough, she's the third player to make the singles and doubles final in the same year in the past few years. So you can look at it either way. Coco Gauff did it, lost both the singles and the doubles. Barbara Krejcikova got there and she won both. So
yeah, she won both.
It's, I think, listen, I tend to agree with what Gigi just said there. If you can keep busy, okay, you're out court, you're working hard, but I'm sure she's super fit. I mean, look at you, Sophie. You've been out on court for 17 hours a day for the last 3 days playing pickleball, and I've never seen anybody fitter in this commentary box.
Right. Have you been taking videos of Sophie and adding,
I have.
And adding commentary on?
Yes,
listen,
I have.
We have about 400 people a day there. That we haven't had. We have three courts. We haven't had 1 minute of any court being empty.
So can anyone come and use
anyone
them?
Come by?
You haven't been
tomorrow, 10 a.m.
I've listened to her. She's scary as a coach, though.
Oh, yes, I'd be terrified.
She makes you do 10 press-ups if you make an unforced error.
That's a lie. I'm the most gentle teacher. You're so wrong.
I would be a little bit terrified.
You should see. I'm very, very kind, very, very poised.
Eleanor at the sidelines doing the kind of scary.
Believe it or not, I'm actually very poised, very calm when I teach because it's, you know, it takes time for the brain to take it in.
Why are you shaking your head?
Well, I mean, calm, Sophie.
Calm.
Okay.
Calm. When I teach, very calm.
Sophie was very calm at our team dinner.
Well, for the first 3 seconds, until Simon said that he wasn't a fan of pickleball, and they were sitting next to each other, and they all kicked off.
I understand people who don't like pickleball when they played the game. I don't understand when they haven't put... He put foot once, and he tried it 1 second. That's what I don't like. Mm. That's all.
You got to give it a go.
That's right.
You got to give it a go.
Yeah.
So pickleball is taking place behind us without Sophie's. They're probably running amok on those three courts because she is not there to keep them under control as Iga Świątek is introduced to the crowd. And her popularity for someone, Marcus, who describes herself as an introvert, her popularity is something else.
Well, it is. And it was very interesting earlier in the championships. If you remember, she did have an on-court interview that garnered some headlines when she said, guys, come on, we don't want noise while we're actually playing points. And at the time, we all wondered, might there be a little bit of a backlash? Might the crowd not appreciate being told what to do? Not a bit of it. I think she's respected for being a leader. She's the number one player in the world. She is not afraid to bring up issues, world issues, that are of relevance to everybody. And I think she has garnered respect almost as much for that as for her fantastic tennis that has kept her on top of the world rankings now for 106 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And as I say, if she wins this, I think it's something like 3,776 points clear of Coco Gauff, who'll be the new world number two on Monday. And then you've got Aryna Sabalenka. And then there's a massive drop-off and a gulf in terms of numbers. Iga Świątek runs back to her chair. She's had enough. Paulini, a couple more serves, a couple of clouds come over. It's intriguing. Hopefully, it will be a contest. Hopefully, Paulini does settle, because this is a big, big occasion.
Yeah, and the one thing, you know, I want to also mention is, yes, you know, obviously we know they both can be aggressive, but the only thing I'm thinking the difference is also Świątek doesn't make mistakes. She's not giving very many points. And it's telling on the stats. Only 95 unforced errors through the tournament for Świątek, for 151 for Paulini. Of course, she spent a lot more time on the court.
Marcus, are you staying or going?
I am going to listen to your brilliance from the back of the box for the first set, and I will join Sophie for set numéro deux.
Super.
Parfait.
A tout à l'heure.
A bientôt. So Iga Świątek, world number one, just 23 years of age, turned 23 here in Roland Garros. Won the toss, elected to serve. She's serving towards the presidential tribune. Paulini just twisting and twisting and twisting and twisting the racket as she wide stance, leans forward. Now she's up on her toes and she spins the forehand back to the inside-out forehand. It's the depth, that weight of shot from Świątek, who comes mid-court and goes cross-court with the backhand. Świątek draws the error, and there's a couple of little come-ons and she gets the first point of the final.
Yeah, just to let you know, I'm in this match already. Oh, come on, off the first point. I mean, it was not even a winner.
She's like, this is how I mean to go on. Świątek is still, just before she rocks back and tosses up the ball and serves it deep into the body of Paulini. Paulini was lucky to get out of the way of it. Forehand, that spin, the rotation she gets on the ball, Świątek. And she goes backhand up the line. Forehand through the middle of the court. The forehand, that just sits up a little bit, but Paulini cannot control it. She finds the tram lines and it's 30 love.
Yeah, very interesting to see already, you know, how quick and how aggressive Iga Świątek is. This is her game. I love to hear just the movement and see her footwork. If you can't see it on TV, obviously, if you're on the radio, it's going to be difficult. But that adjustment footwork, it's constant.
Yeah, a lot of people who watch on TV, put it on mute and listen to us. There you go. There's your perfect scenario. Didn't catch that properly. Świątek still finds the court, gets a short high ball, steps in. Ooh, that's interesting. She waited for the movement of Paulini and yet went back to the Italian.
Well, what happened is that Paulini picked the right side, just like a goalkeeper on the penalty kick. She was able to really wait and decided, oh, I'm going to go because she's going to go to my back end, and just bunted it back down the line. Świątek, obviously, way too far. Good on her. First winner of the match for Paulini.
Świątek, that pause as she leans forward before she starts the service motion. The serve goes down the tee. The stretch from Paulini's a really, really good serve.
Well, it's starting with a 169, but that's really well placed also. Her first serve is getting more miles per hour, as we're seeing on her screen. Somebody that's a legend of the sport, Martina Navratilova, watching from the presidential box.
Game points. First game of the women's singles final. Świątek serves down the tee again. The backhand goes deep, and that's a lofted ball from Świątek. And Paulini has to let it bounce. It's way above her 5'5" frame. Lets it settle. Inside-out forehand from Świątek. Świątek double-handed backhand sort of bunts it cross-court. Back to the feet and the forehand. Oof. Świątek cracks that ball. But then she nets off the backhand on the baseline, and it's 40-30.
So what I love about Paulini is that she's always in the air, because she has no choice but to be in the air when she makes contact with most of the ball, especially on the back end when that ball is kicking high. You're going to see her body jumping to try to get that ball to avoid having it over her shoulder. She's such an athlete out there.
Game point. Clouds have come over. It's a warm day. And Świątek looking to get herself on the board, having won the toss and elected to serve. Serve down the tee again. It's an ace. There's a firm fist pump from Świątek towards her box. And the world number one and two-time defending champion is up and running.
I'm very happy to see what I saw in this first game, because, you know, the one thing you want to avoid I mean, I can only imagine. I've never been in a final of a major. But the one thing you want to avoid is just to be cold feet and scared and having the butterfly still in your stomach and not being able to hit the ball. But Paolini is doing great. Świątek's got the obviously upper hand in that domain because, well, she's been there, done that.
Yeah. So we're going to get a first look at the Italian's serve. She came in as the 12th seed. She will leave here as the world number 7. If she were to win the title, she'd be the world number 5. Having an incredible season. That title, just her second career title, that WTA 1000 in Dubai. The doubles 1000 title with Sara Rani in Rome. She'll have that to contest tomorrow against Siniaka and Goff. She beat Goff and Routliff in Rome in the final. And she says that Sara Rani has been so important to her with her friendship, with her advice. She wins the first point on serve. We get a little Italian roar.
Yeah, she's going to have to put a lot of first serves in because I can tell you that that's the weakest link of Paolini. That second serve can be really short in the box and slow. And Świątek's going to try to attack it.
Serve into the center of the box. It's spun back by Świątek, who has to get out of the way of that ball, so drops it to the middle of the court, the forward. That's big hitting from Paolini. She gets the short ball, should put it away. She goes back to Świątek, who lofts up the ball. It will not find the court. That is big, aggressive play from the Italian, as we have another winner. 12 finals today. And Kaylin Biggin from the USA, he's the 5th seed, has come through against Tomasz Berkieta of Poland, 6-3 in the third after nearly 2 hours on court. So congratulations to him. 30 love. The little look up to check that Świątek is still there. Świątek doesn't have a wide stance or a deep knee bend. Stands quite upright. And then it's changed direction out wide. This is good, aggressive, attacking play off the serve from the Italian.
I tell you what, I know what her camp has told her. If you're going to beat Świątek, you're going to have to be aggressive and you're going to have to take time away from her. And that's exactly what she's doing. And that's what we were talking about. But yeah, can she do this for 2 sets? That is the question.
Well, she's got game points of 40 love to get the first love hold of this one. The backhand to her feet. The forehand flicks through the middle of the court. The forehand snap across court from Świątek. Świątek double-handed backhand. That is very deep. Gets a shorter ball, so she'll flick the ball off the backhand down the other side. She has to slide into a ball that stops short. The forehand cross court. This is big hitting, but it's out of the reach of the outstretching Paolini for Świątek to get on the board in the Paolini serve.
You know, we might be treated to something special today because they complete a little bit each other in the sense that, you know, I think Paolini has a little bit more topspin on her shots, except from the forehand of Świątek, but they both are going after it. Love it.
Yeah. Great start from both. A couple of game points still remaining. Before this year, she had never made it past the second round in Paris. And here she is, Jasmine Paolini, contesting the title match. Game points. She floats the backhand mid-court ball. Świątek goes back behind with plenty of time. And she keeps game two alive.
And that's where it's difficult for Paolini, is when the ball is really with a ton of topspin to her backhand. Unfortunately, if she doesn't have the time to jump to hit that ball kicks so high that she's retrieving and retrieving. And she can't really compete with the spin of Świątek.
Still got a game point. Serve down the tee. She has to step out of the way, Paolini, and sort of slaps that ball, but drops it a little bit short. The backhand cross court, the stretch, and Paolini. Backhand lofted deep from Świątek, who goes cross court to the service side. Through the center of the court goes Paolini. Paolini with the backhand cross court. Oh, she's found it. No, she hasn't.
Just wide.
And Świątek had the racket up. She was saying, Nika Hellworth, you're going to come down and check this. It's confirmed, it did miss, and it is juice.
Listen to that. It is out, people. People who love people.
It's kind of any chance to have a little boo, isn't it?
I started to sing. You told me I could only sing in the second set. Sorry. Sorry. Take that back.
Come on. I want to go early now. Come on. Juice. First serve down the tee, snap back through the middle of court, playing through the middle of the court at the moment. The angle fan cross court, the backhand from Świątek, who gets a short ball. She comes into attack, she waits, she finds the winner, and she has break point.
And mistakes here. I think that she needs to find the forehand of Świątek, even though there's more kick, more top spin on that ball. I think that's where she's going to make more mistakes. The back end is just too solid.
Merci. 8 minutes on the clock. Missed first serve out wide. Takes the ball from the short she's wearing under the lemon yellow coloured skirt. Tosses up that ball now. Serve sits in the middle of the box. The backhand thunders back for Świątek. Świątek with the backhand clips top of the net and goes wide.
Do you know that in the last 40 years, only twice has an Italian women player able to be the number one in the world at the majors? Tatiana Garbin against Justine Henin and here in Roland Garros 2004, and Roberta Vinci against Serena Williams in 2015. Small odds.
Well, she saved the first break point. Got a second serve here, though, to try and get a game point up. The backhand is long, and it is game point. Paolini.
She needs to hold here. It's huge. And, you know, people might not realize, oh, it's only the second game, but mentally for the Italian, she needs to hold. I mean, we know Świątek, when she starts being up 2-love, 3-love, 4-love, all of a sudden she's very hungry for bagels, as we all know.
Yes, loves having that bakery up and running, doesn't she? Serve out wide, back to the backhand of Paolini, puts it very deep through the middle of the court, draws an error, and she has held. There's a fist bump and a roar towards the box, and Sophie said, so important to get that first game on the board, which she does. It's a game apiece, 9 minutes played.
And I'm surprised, because those were from the backhand side. And I'm thinking she's going to make more mistakes of the forehand. But in those last two shots, those two really floating backhands from Świątek, that's unusual.
Well, she is the overwhelming favourite. Maybe that brings with it a pressure. As Jasmine Paolini said, the pressure is on her. I have nothing to lose. Well, a Grand Slam title, but in terms of when it comes to the pressure, it is all on the defending champion. Everyone expects her to come through. They expect her to come through it quite easily, as she has done with the majority of the matches, barring the second round against Naomi Osaka when she faced a match point. Since then, she has been ruthless. Serve down the tee. That one kicks up, sits up for the backhand return. And it's swished wide.
Did you say maybe? Oh, you said that. Maybe she's going to think about things if she feels like it's really close, Świątek. Did you say that at the beginning of the broadcast? No, I think Marcus said that. Well, I think she's feeling a little bit of things, because for her to make so many unforced errors in the last 3 points, not likely.
Love 15. Świątek serves into the center of the box. The cross court back in is deep from Paolini, and it's loose from Świątek. Didn't move her feet. She wasn't in the right position. Got a very deep return. Pause, the silence, the opportunity for Paolini. Love 30, serve out wide, sort of slap back. It's a mid-court short ball, cross-court on the angle, lovely angle from Świątek, and that's what draws the error and gets her on the board.
Yeah, she was way too far, Paolini, traveling along the baseline instead of cutting the angle as a short cross-court forehand from the racket of Świątek.
Paolini waits slightly side on, way back from the baseline. Świątek tosses up that ball and serves down the tee in the forehand onto the service line. The backhand cross court deep from Świątek. Another backhand from Świątek. That's just one lower and sort of zips over there. She redirects it up the line. The forehand through the center of the court, more from Paolini. He goes back out onto the service line. The slide from the backhand and then down the line goes Paolini. The squash shot from Świątek. In comes Paolini. She goes drop shot. Here comes Świątek. She scoops up the line. She missed. She's missed it. The cry was from the Italian, and she has break points.
So smart from Paolini, just changing the directions and being really in command in that point. And that drop shot was perfectly played. You know, if Świątek has to come in the short ball or drop shot and use the slice, normally she comes through the ball and hits like a slammer winner. That means you've done something right.
Yes. 14 shot rally, the longest of the final so far. We are, though, only in game three. Break points for Paolini. She saved one in her last service game. Now she has two of her own. Świątek misses the first serve. Clouds come over. Świątek reaches up for this second serve, kicks it up down the tee, through the middle off the return. That was loose and lofted from Świątek. You can't see her expression because she's hidden under that baseball cap. But it's Paolini that gets the first break. Advantage Jasmine Paolini, 2-1 with the break, 13 minutes played.
Well, we didn't see that coming. None of us, for sure. I'm loving it. Again, it's all about the balance. Can you outplay or at least stop giving time for Świątek to get set? And that's Paolini who's doing this. A lot more enforced errors on the side of Świątek right now, who's at 7 already for 4 winners. On the other side, very even. 1 winner for 1 enforced. Oof. That's where it's, lies, really. So that's uncanny for Świątek. And, you know, she's human, so there's got to be something in her head. She's trying to go for a 4. She's trying to, her fourth Roland Garros. She's trying to even out the record of Justine Henin. In front of her are the greats of Graf, 6, and the great, of course, of Chris Evert with 7 at the French Open, Roland Garros. So pretty impressive crowd to be part of.
Yeah, Chris Evert's in the commentary box alongside us. About 5 or 6 down. Chris Evert is working on this match. We've got Alex Krejcik 2 down. There's Greg Rosetsky and Annabelle Croft, wow. Sophie Amiak with us. Star-studded.
Great stars. They are the stars.
Right, Paolini. They say it's not a break until it's consolidated, so this game as important. She has the Presidential Tribune in her box. And there's lovely 2 rows at the back of the Italian section. They've got T-shirts, the colours of the Italian flag. And they're all currently sitting in the right positions to show the colours of that flag. The slice floated, brings Świątek in. And Świątek has to come forward, but the off forehand did enough.
Another thing I noticed since the beginning of the match is a lot of the direction of Paolini's balls are going down the middle. She's trying not to open angles. And as soon as she has the opportunity, she goes more to the line and to the angles. And it's working.
Yeah, it is. Serves down the tee, the forehand slap back, the forehand spun cross court to the corner from Paolini, who scoops up the base and redirects down the line. Backhand cross court, Paolini through the middle of the court, the forehand into the corner from Świątek. Long love 30, a cry from the pole.
That ball is flying through the air quite fast, from both players, by the way. I love the acceleration and the whip of the racket head of Paolini on the forehand. And we haven't seen one jumping backhand because both of them can do it in the air. It's very spectacular.
Just got a shot of the 2000 champion Mary Pierce, who is in the third row of the Presidential Tribune in sort of fuchsia.
Very fuchsia.
Very fuchsia. The backhand return down the line, switched cross court and deep from Paolini. It is love 30, it's love 40.
Yeah, all of a sudden she's trying more to go to the line, more to go find some angles instead of going back to where she was, and how she really was able to break Świątek is to get that ball down the middle in the tram line and then wait until she has the opportunity to really hurt down the line or cross court.
As Maria has said rightly, one victory already for Paolini. No bakery in the first set. The bagels and the breadsticks are gone. But she's 2-1 and 3 That's opportunities true. Now.
That's an achievement on its own.
It is. 3 opportunities for Iga Świątek to get us back on. Serve deep, serve backhand winner. Off the second serve, a little cry from the world number one and 2-time defending champion, because in a blink of an eye, she breaks to love, she breaks back. It's 2-2.
Well, let's see what the reaction is going to be for Paolini. Is she going to go back to that initial tactic that she had?
We've got this ridiculous stat of Iga Świątek. She's only ever on clay lost once in her whole career when she has won the opening set. That is how important this first set is. That's over 70 wins, just 1 defeat, and that was back in 20 19. Forehand cross court from Świątek. Another forehand for Świątek. This time down the line to the double hander backhand cross court Pauline. That's a little bit short, deeper from Świątek. Backhand from the pole. That ball is lofted, sits up, and it's lofted back through the middle. Inside out forehand from Świątek. So the service, a lovely angle from the defending champion. Round the net post goes Pauline. Switch cross court on the forehand. Świątek goes backhand cross court. Longest rally of the match. Back to the Świątek backhand and goes down the line. Pauline slaps the forehand cross court. Forehand spins down the line. Backhand through the middle of the court. Świątek attacks with the backhand, stays on the baseline, then hits the backhand cross court for the winner. Stunning point. Great defense. Świątek comes out on top.
And this is the kind of points that you wonder if this happens more often. I mean, Paolini has to feel it in.